Welkom bij de Wat kan ik wel podcast. Ontstaan vanuit mijn eigen zoektocht en struggles met mijn gezondheid. Ondanks ziekte toch willen ondernemen. Stond mijn leven eerst in het teken van wat niet kon, nu check ik wat kan ik wel. Een online bedrijf starten dus. Via Instagram, wat kan ik wel _ en deze podcast deel ik mijn eigen ervaringen, tips en inzichten en ga ik bovendien in gesprek met ondernemers die ondanks ziekte of traumaklachten succesvol ondernemen. Hoe doen zij dat? Hoe vinden zij balans? Hoe creëren zij voldoende space voor de dagen dat het niet goed gaat? Zijn ze financieel onafhankelijk? Is er ruimte voor ambitie? Hoe maken ze tijd voor hun gezin? En vooral, hoe gaan zij om met de onvoorspelbare factor van hun gezondheidsklachten? Een paar weken geleden sprak ik met Lara Johnson. Zij is een Amerikaanse coach met een goedlopende praktijk. Lara heeft 3 kinderen, waarvan 2 met autisme en zelf heeft Lara last van fibromyalgie. Hoe combineert zij haar coachingspraktijk met zowel de onvoorspelbaarheid van haar eigen klachten als die van haar 2 oudste kids? Lara legt uit hoe zij hiermee heeft leren omgaan en vertelt ook hoe ze dit praktisch toepast. Een echte eye-opener voor mij persoonlijk. Tot slot vertelt Lara over haar vertrouwen in het leven, universum of een god, hoe jij het ook wilt noemen, en hoe zij dit zakelijk voor zich laat werken. Echt een mega eye-opener voor mij. Deze podcast is in het Engels, aangezien Lara Amerikaans is. En de rest van de podcast die zal waarschijnlijk in het Nederlands merendeel zijn. Hey, laat je me alsjeblieft weten wat je ervan vond. Via Instagram bijvoorbeeld, wat kan ik wel _. En please, laat ook een review achter op de plek waar jij naar podcast luistert. Dit helpt mij echt enorm. Ik wil natuurlijk zoveel mogelijk vrouwen bereiken die struggelen met gezondheid en die toch willen ondernemen en op zoek zijn naar gelijkgestemden. Laten we niet langer wachten. Geniet van mijn gesprek met Lara. Here we go.
Okay, Lara, thank you so much. Is it okay for you if we're gonna start with you telling me more about your business? Like, what do you do? And like, how many days a week or how many hours a week? And
with it. Okay, so I'm a life coach, a certified life coach, and my target market are moms that want something more than motherhood. Like, they love being a mom, but they feel like there's something more that they have to contribute to the world. And I help them figure out what that is and then have the tools to move forward on that. So that's something I'm passionate about that drives me in so many areas of my life. If I had it my way, I would be working 5 days a week, but that's not what my life looks like and doesn't allow for that. So I typically work 3 days a week. I don't usually go beyond like 12 clients at a time. That's usually where my max is. Work hours, I have kind of interesting work hours sometimes where I have chunks of time from like when my sitter's here, 9 to 3 on those 3 days. And during those times, sometimes I'm exercising, sometimes I'm getting ready. Sometimes it's client calls, sometimes it's marketing. So it's kind of whatever I need to do. And then there's a few days that I have like early morning clients based on time zone or an evening client. So typically I try and keep most of my clients in those work hours, but I've been okay doing it outside of those times, depending on where my family's at for the time and my health, of course.
Yeah. We're going to go into that. Just one more quick question about your coaching. Is it all one-on-one or do you do group coaching as well?
No,
or
all one-on-one at this point.
Yeah. Okay. And with a maximum of 12 coaches a day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, 12 in a week.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, whoa, that's like, well, that's a lot.
Yeah, we do them in 5-minute increments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, 12 in a week. And I try not to go beyond that, just with my family dynamic right now. Mm-hmm. And I can explain that. But
yeah, please go into that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So Last year, I was planning to increase to more working days and I got pregnant. So my youngest was just about to go into kindergarten and we had a surprise caboose, join the family. So that drastically changed things last year. On top of that, that's where we've been figuring out some stuff with my oldest. He was diagnosed with autism about a year and a half ago. We've known that for a very long time. He just had never been officially diagnosed because he's not autistic enough to have met the criteria when he was younger. Yeah. But with a lot of the challenges that we have with him, we suspect that my daughter is as well. She's my second. And then I've got my 5-year-old and now the baby. It requires a lot of flexibility. And like my oldest right now, we had to pull him from school. So he's been at home with me. And we're doing homeschooling, unschooling, whatever you want to call it. But there were times even before that where, I'm having to spend, 3 to 4 hours getting him to school, helping him stay at school, There's been times where he's been hospitalized and so there's just it's a very big strain. And my husband is an accountant. He works 80 plus hour weeks. And so I always knew if I was going to have a career, it needed to be on my terms.
Yeah.
And it needed to be in a way that I have clients that understand my family dynamics and are willing to adjust if needs be.
Because I want to go dive deeper into that, but besides all of that, you also have your own health struggles, right? And maybe you can share how those health problems show up for you in a way, like, do they make you inconsistent or do you kind of know when it's coming or what is it like for you?
So I've always had, I've always had weird body things. And it was always really frustrating because I could never figure out what it was. A couple years ago, it really felt like I had rheumatoid arthritis. Like I was having a hard time getting out of bed. I didn't understand what was going on. There's always been times in my life where my body just didn't feel good and it would get worse during certain times. But I could never figure out what it was. So at that point, that's when I finally went to a doctor thinking I had arthritis. And that's when they diagnosed me with fibromyalgia. Mm-hmm. And I think fibromyalgia is such an interesting diagnosis. Like there's, I think, so much research that could be coming out. I don't know your background. Everybody has different opinions on it. For me, it was just more putting a name to what I already knew about my body. So for me, there are times during the year, it's usually about twice a year, where I know my body will just hurt more. I know stress will push me over and I know when to push on the gas and when to take the gas off. That's where having days off of work is very critical for my health because I'm able to know when the next break is coming for my body. So that I can always go back to those days. If I am feeling up to it, I'll do things. If I'm not, then it's total permission not to do anything those days. Of course, like I say that, but I'm like still a mom. I'm still caring for a baby.
Exactly.
It's just more permission not to do all the projects and the cleaning. And it's like more of a veg day with the kids. So that's kind of where it's like a push pull. And I've learned my body well enough to know when to push and when to pull back. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And so working the 3 days a week, that allows you then enough space to fill your schedule with clients where you can coach. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the days of course you're always being a mom, but then also allow you enough space to rest and to take care of yourself. But then sometimes you're with your children, especially your oldest, then you also need to be able to be flexible I guess. So how do you manage that? Because then you probably have quite a few appointments lined up for the day. So how do you handle that? I mean, I'm asking, like, for me, like I get a lot of migraines and I never really know when they're coming. So for me, it's very difficult to build up like a coaching practice, because I've had to cancel so many appointments, and then, you know, that messed with my, you know, like imposter syndrome, all those kind of things then showed up. And so I'm wondering, like, how do other people handle this? You know, if you got to drive, you good at what you do, you really like doing what you do, you know, and you need the money income as well. Mm-hmm. But then how do you handle the things that you just didn't see coming?
Yeah, I think that's such a good question. And for me, I used to feel really bad canceling with my clients, but then I realized the people that I'm coaching need to see what it's like to be a mom with a career. So for me, that was really important to ahead of time set that standard on, just so you know, this is my family dynamic and I will always show up for you. And there will be times where we may need to reschedule. And I care enough about you to know that, like, you want results. And here's some other videos. Like, if I'm not able to attend that, go to the video, go to the podcast, keep that time for yourself so that you are still able to get what you need for that week, even if it's not me directly coaching you. And so being able to create that standard is really important for me, so that they always know I'm not flaky, just I have other things going on and you can still get results even if we're not face to face that week, but I will always try and reschedule sometime that week if possible. Other times it's just not possible, and that's okay too. And, you know, and I keep the same standard with my clients because they are moms. I do tend to attract moms that have neurodiverse kids. So they have similar scenarios. And, you know, appointments happen. Sometimes you can only meet with a doctor at certain times, but I keep the same schedule every week and then always have flex times in my schedule. That I can move appointments to. So there's a lot of flexibility already built in.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yes, I'm taking notes. I'm like, this is definitely interesting. Okay, great. Thank you for sharing that. So that is a great tip for me and, you know, the people on my platform. Is there anything else, any other advice that you would like to share for people who are, you know, building a business or already having a business but are still struggling with finding balance? And, you know, what advice or tips could you give that have really worked well for you?
Well, I honestly feel like I could talk about it all day.
Yes.
We would have to just schedule a whole day.
Yeah, I would love that. I'm in.
Yes. I think for me, the two things that come to mind, well, I guess there's kind of three things. I think the first thing is being able to give yourself the full permission and not make a story about it. I shamed myself for so long about the way my body worked, and it made things worse versus like, this is my body, this is the way it works, and I'm okay with that now. And I've made a lot of peace with that. So for me, that was like the first big thing, was just dropping whatever I'm making it mean about not showing up in a certain way, because we've defined that as the gold standard. And that's just someone's thought that we think we should have. And that's just not true. I think the other thing, I have in my mind, like my top priorities of when I need to hermit, is what I call it, on things that will go first. So if I can start to feel a shift in my body, if there's a lot of stress going on with my kids, immediately I stop posting on social media. Like, that is just what I have given myself permission to do. Like, marketing stops. That's always the first thing that stops. And within that, you know, there's little pieces, like I'll still do my podcast. I'm usually, you know, a couple weeks ahead on that. And I will still meet with clients, but like social media marketing, I have a really strong belief that my social media account is my portfolio. Mm-hmm. And if someone wants to work with me, they can go to my social media account and get to know me and my style of coaching. And it's still working for me, even if I'm not actively posting. So for me, that's like always my belief that the first thing, if I start to feel the tide shift in my body, I just stop doing that. I stop, you know, keeping track of my expenses. That can be done later. I stop. And I, so I kind of have like my checklist of like, what's my top priority? What's my lowest priority? Cut those things out first and foremost. And so sometimes the only thing I'm doing is showing up to client calls. Sometimes I do need to cancel those and that's fine. But if I can feel it shifting, I'll still maintain that. So that's the other way I kind of keep that balance is mm-hmm. I have that checklist of like things I just start removing mentally. And then I think the third thing is every time there's a shift in my body, I have a really strong belief that I'm learning something for my clients during that time. And every time I shift and I go into that hermit state, I'm not thinking about clients. I'm not thinking about work. I am solely caring for my body. But as soon as I start to come out of it, it's like my brain turns on. It's like, here's all the lessons I learned from this and everything my clients need. And it's like my brain just like wakes up and it's like a full like computer download of like, boom, 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 boom. Like I always have huge creative bursts after I come out of those times.
Yeah.
And so I've just always allowed myself when I think about that balance of I'm not taking time off. I'm caring for my body. And when it's time, I don't miss a beat. Everything I'm learning during that is exactly what my people need to know from me later on. Those are a couple other ways I think about it.
Yeah, thank you. Very inspiring and very recognizable as well, indeed. I don't have the list though. That's a really good, it's really good. All three of them are really, really well. Thank you. Most of us are entrepreneurs that are just starting. And then obviously there's still, you know, financial insecurity and also like you mentioned social media, but that is for many of us that's like a very important way of finding new people. How do you not worry about that then?
Yeah, I think that's a good question because there has been a lot of worry in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized was that the more I worried about it, the more my health declined.
Exactly.
That's really what it boiled down to.
Yeah.
And it was like I had to make the exchange of I am trading worry for my health. And it seems like a really odd exchange, but I knew that if I trusted in God, the universe, if I did what I was able to, the universe would show up for me in the in-betweens. And I know that seems so crazy to think about, but the more we move to that trust, the more I've moved to that trust, the more financially secure I've been. Mm-hmm. And I've had to really just trust that I feel called to this work and God knew my body. So he's going to have to make up the rest or the universe or, you know, whatever people believe in, where if you feel like, I feel like that with every entrepreneur, we're entrepreneurs because we feel called to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to trust that we were called in our weakness and that there will be some kind of making up by the universe to make it work in some way. And so for me, I've just always gone back to, okay, what do I know? That's what I'm going to do. Over and over and over. And it's taken me a long time to get comfortable on social media. I don't have a huge following. I don't really care. I trust that enough people are coming to fill my client pool. And they do every single time.
Okay, wow. I'm really touched by what you just said. It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let me see if I have more. No, actually, this went so fast. and at the same time, I just feel like, wow, I just want to keep on talking.
Yeah.
Forever, I think, to you. I just want you to be right next to me.
Yeah. So can you tell me, so who are your people? Like, are you currently one-on-one coaching, group coaching, new to coaching?
I actually stopped coaching for a little while. And I did one-on-ones and I did some groups, but because of the migraines and I had a severe burnout and migraines, and the migraines were just getting, well, sort of worse, not worse in intensity, but basically like I would have them like a week, like a whole week, you know, and I mean, they're hormonal, but sometimes they come at the end of my period, sometimes when I'm ovulating. So it's totally not, you know, I cannot work around it. And then I actually lost all confidence on being able to make it happen. And then I had hit another rock bottom, basically. And that's when I started to coach myself out of it. And I started looking at things the other way around. So instead of thinking like, I cannot do this, I cannot do this, I cannot do that, you know, there's basically not much left that I can do. Then I started, you know, turning it around and thinking about like, hey, Rose, what can you do? Mm-hmm. And then what do you really like to do? And that's when the shift really started to happen.
Yeah.
And that's when I decided like, you know what, maybe one-on-one coaching or group coachings right now is just giving me too much stress, because I just never know when I have to cancel. And I feel so bad about having to cancel, mm-hmm. especially when you have to like cancel a lot, you know? And then I decided like, but I can do online courses, because I can, you know, I do definitely have moments that I feel really good. And as you said, like I get the inspirement and a message, like the downloads, I get them as yes. well.
Yeah.
So that's so remarkable.
So cool.
I understand now. So that's when I realized like, yeah, you can set up like this whole, you're selling courses online. Mm-hmm. So that's what I started to focus on. But then I thought like, well, that's going to be easy, you know, just, you know, create a course, because that's basically easy for me because I have so much information. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been taught so well at the Life Coach School as well. So we have so much, you know, wisdom mm-hmm. and experience already. And so I created a course, and then I started setting up a funnel and all those kind of things. And then it was like, whew, you know, that's so much work actually. And it's really nice. I like marketing, mm-hmm. but it was pretty, pretty intense, because you know, for you to be able to do one thing, you actually need to figure out another thing, and then you need to figure out that thing mm-hmm. first. And so I was like, whoa, okay. But I did all that. And basically had it up and running and started putting some money into the ads and everything. And, you know, it started working out a little bit. And then I actually felt pulled towards, and I was doing everything internationally. Mm-hmm. And then like I had this, I felt pulled toward doing things in Dutch. So for the Netherlands only. And I was like, yeah, but I just set everything up in English and it doesn't make any sense. And I'm not sure if it's smart, but I was just unstoppable, basically. Mm-hmm. And while I was doing that, so I started to set that up and I did an Instagram course. I'm still doing the Instagram course and it's really interesting. So now I'm like in a small group, which I really liked. And it's actually my first group thing again after LCS. Mm-hmm. And I noticed like doing it in Dutch is giving me like a new, it's actually more scary for me because it's home, right? Even though there's not really anybody in there yet that I really know, but it actually feels like coming home as well.
Yeah.
But I had to start all over again. And now in Dutch, I call the page is called, yeah, Wat kan ik wel? And it actually means like, what can I do? And there's such a pool of people. There's actually so many people who are in similar situations. And yeah, I've just started it like a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, there's so many questions and like ideas for podcasts now, and people are really responding, and I'm really leveling with people, and there's, what I say, so many people connecting and wanting to share the story. So I just, like, I feel like I'm, yeah, there's something happening here, and I'm still, you know, not having to find the right structure and keep my calm, because I'm actually getting quite hyperactive actually, and then stressing myself out. So I have to, you know, channel it down a bit and everything. And also, like, my first idea wasn't to actually connect with people like you, but then when I did realize, like, yes, this is what I want to do, it actually was such a beautiful piece of the puzzle, because I always wanted to start a podcast and I always wanted to connect with other people. I never wanted it to be just my message. I actually preferred it to be other people's message as well, and my message. And I could, you know, I can, I would really like to be a mentor and a coach, but not per se like the coach, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's all coming together now. And I'm just listening to you, and even the sound of your voice is just, I just feel like, yes, you know, it's such a, yeah. I'm on the right path. Yeah.
I got chills when you said it. It felt like coming home, because I really find that when we're doing the thing that, like, the universe presents to us, it is like a returning home, like to our soul. And it's like, it becomes so much easier, which means there's not as much stress. Like, it's still hard. I mean, you never discredit, like, it is hard work, but it's a different level. It doesn't feel like you're pulling, like, pushing a boulder up a hill.
Well, and that's, and I think I'm actually in that process where I've always pushed the boulder up the hill. And I think this is actually the first time since a very, very long time, like in the last 20 years, this is the first time when I'm learning to trust again and to feel the flow. But it's like such a foreign feeling, and it's so scary, and it's like I'm being pulled back in my survival pattern, and there's all kinds of traumas, and, you know, a lot of things with health issues obviously stem from, well, a lot of stress at least, you know. And so it's something that I've read about, and I've felt inspired about so many times, you know, with alignment and doing things in flow and the universe and God and everything, you know. It's always touched me so deep, but it was always like, this is what I want, but I cannot reach it. And now I'm starting to become it, you know?
Anytime I get to that spot, it sounds like such a strange analogy, but when I get to that spot, it feels like there's arrows coming at me, where it's like, I feel like it's like painful, where like everything's starting to come. And I know when that starts to happen, because it feels like I'm absorbing painful energy, and that, like, will shut my body down. So sometimes when that starts to happen, it sounds so silly, but like, I'll close my eyes and I'll imagine myself turning the arrows, and it's like magnetic off of me where it's like, and then I like imagine like my energy is like rippling throughout. And that's always like the feeling I have when I'm trusting in God and in the universe. It's like my energy is radiating out, and people are feeling that, and they're drawn to it. And so anytime that's where I start getting really overwhelmed by things, and it feels like a lot's coming at me, I'll always just like close my eyes and slowly turn my arrows away, and then just like think about my energy going beyond the walls of this room, beyond the walls of my house, beyond the walls, or beyond like my yard border. And it just starts magnifying from there.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And did you always have the trust, like people will find me, or did you have to work on
Oh,
that?
gosh, no. Yeah,
No.
I worked on that for years.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I
yeah, yeah.
mean, what you see now is not who I was even a year ago.
Okay.
And it took me a solid like 3 years to really get to this spot, or I mean, even like close to this spot. And then I feel like in the last year, it was like, you know what? This is the body that God gave me. So he's got to make up the difference. And that's really been the thought within the last year on like, he keeps calling me to this. So I'm going to keep moving forward and trust more, because what other option do I have? I know what happened when I wasn't trusting, and that wasn't fun either.
And then, so then could you say it again? This is the body he gave you. And so he's got to make up.
Yeah,
for it.
He's going to make up the difference.
He's going to make up the difference. Yeah. So, but that almost sounds a bit like you did, I think, but that's maybe a language thing, because making up for the difference is like, it's a gentle thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it more like, can you actually like kind of claim it even maybe? Like, hey,
totally.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's been times, and you know, it's religious beliefs, but I am Christian, and I do still believe in the universe and energy, you know, all of that. But the way I kind of thought about it is, if this is required to be successful, but my body is here, and I still believe that God wants me to do this and be successful and help people, then I'm going to do this and trust that he's going to magnify whatever I'm doing and take my message wherever it needs to go. So that even though I'm not functioning up here, he's the one that's bringing it up to that level.
Okay.
And I just think about, I'm going to show it to you. Okay. So I have this picture on my wall. Like, this is the way I imagine it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So in the past, I used to go and light all these fires. In the past, where it was like, I needed to run around and do all this work. But then I was like, well, if I just stand here and share my light, look at all the fires that can start from that. And so for me, it was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to stand and do what I can and share my light. And slowly it's going to just start circling, and God's going to carry it wherever it needs to go. That's kind of the way that I believe he makes up the difference.
And it has worked for you as well. You've really noticed that. That's beautiful.
Yeah. In the times that I've worked the least, I don't see as big of a difference in the money I make that month. And that's kind of crazy. That's kind of mind blowing to think about. I mean, there's typically, you know, whole months that I stopped marketing. So last year it was probably, I mean, I took maternity leave for 12 weeks, and it was probably, you know, 4 months that I wasn't marketing, and I had the same revenue as I did before. So, I mean, it just goes to show, like,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Things still work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Dat was hem dan, mijn allereerste podcast ever. Ik hoop dat je ervan genoten hebt. Laat het me weten, vind ik echt heel erg fijn. Je kan me bijvoorbeeld taggen in stories, dat je een foto maakt van de podcast en mij daarin tagt. En zoals gezegd, laat alsjeblieft een review achter. Dat helpt mij echt enorm om meer vrouwen zoals jij en ik te bereiken. Wil jij in contact komen met Lara, dan kan dat via Instagram. Je vindt haar op j.lara.johnson. Maar ik zal het ook linken in de show notes. En de volgende podcast ga ik mijn verhaal vertellen. En ik ben ook in contact met meerdere vrouwen die al een hele interessante onderneming hebben opgezet. Dus dat gaat allemaal nog komen. Dus ik hou je op de hoogte hier en op Instagram natuurlijk. En rest mij niks anders dan je te bedanken en je een hele fijne dag te wensen. Doei!
Thank you.